Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the morning show. Today is Wednesday, the 18th of September, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. For the past several months, KPFK has been running at various times a program called Pacifica Matters, or KPFK Matters, to educate listeners about the bylaws of the Pacifica Foundation. The Pacifica Foundation is a nonprofit corporation under IRS rules and, like all nonprofit corporations, is run according to a set of bylaws. Currently, Pacifica has no bylaws as a result of the nature of a legal settlement earlier this year, so the foundation is charged with the task of rewriting its bylaws. Since Pacifica is an institution which is supposed to be democratically run by those who support it, namely you, the listener, your input in the rewriting of bylaws is crucial. This is an amazing opportunity, essentially an attempt to recreate the institution that so many thousands of people, or tens of thousands of people at least here in this area, have come to depend on, and across the nation, of course, there are probably millions of people. Now, there are a number of proposals on the table for bylaws right here in our local area, and this hour we will be demystifying bylaws in an attempt to engage you, the listener, to take an active role in learning about this process and also finding out how you can get involved. Also, the next meeting of the Interim Pacifica National Board, which is open to all, is in Houston, starting in fact this Friday, and at this meeting there's going to be some intense discussion of the deadlines to submit the final versions of bylaws. Near the end of the hour, we will be trying to take your listener calls. Generally, bylaws are the rules agreed upon for the internal operation of an organization, such as the time and place of the annual meeting or the number of directors required to constitute a quorum for the conduct of business, who the members of the board are, how voting takes place, how committees are formed and run, etc., etc. Here to help us discuss bylaws for the Pacifica Foundation are Sarah Zwern, who is a listener. She was on the planning committee for the LA area's bylaws convention, and David Ferdig, a representative to the Interim Pacifica National Board from the KPFK Local Advisory Board. They're both in studio with me is Vince Ivory, a longtime volunteer and a former staff member at KPFK. He's with the Pacifica Accountability Committee. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, can we talk a little bit about, I want to lay the foundation for, I think, this program. Sarah, you are familiar with a lot of the various proposals that are on the table right now. Can you mention some of these most important ones by name and just to get us started?
Well, okay, we have the, what is called the Robinson proposal, which is actually not Robinson, but supposedly his listening community, as he claims. And that one is purports to have a national board of 15 members, five of which I believe would be at-large appointed members. Then you have the Berkeley proposal, or the Carol Spooner proposal, which has a lot of staff representation, and that's the main thing that I can think of on that one. And then you have the David Ferdig proposal, which obviously comes out of LA, and his proposal is, It has some staff, quite a bit of staff representation too on the boards, and it also I'm drawing a blank right now. It also has a lot of
well, maybe David can also speak to it.
Yeah, David can speak to it. And it has, I think, his philosophy in the times that I've spoken to David is that and I probably shouldn't speak to him, but, and I agree with this, that whatever bylaws we come with from this process, that they probably will be changed, and I think we need to leave enough flexibility and enough of a capability to have the bylaws changed in a way that is constructive and will not be divisive to the network. The next one is the it was originally the Margallo proposal, which came supposedly out of the KPFK bylaws subcommittee, and however, it wasn't formally adopted by the bylaws subcommittee. But Margallo submitted this proposal in an effort to have something from Los Angeles. Then later, we had an L.A. area convention, bylaws convention, in which through a consensus process, we came up with the Unity proposal, and it was, I think it was about 40 people there. We wished it had been more, but I guess bylaws is not a sexy issue. At any rate, we did come up with a virtual consensus in a lot of areas and some points of unity and some areas that we had discussion in. Anyway, that is out there. It is not on what's called the grid right now, but it has been delivered to the Interim Pacifica National Board. And then there's a KPFT proposal, which I will admit I know very little about. I have not read that proposal.
KPFT being our station, sister station in Houston?
In Houston, right. So,
what about the Pacifica Accountability
yes, then
committees?
There's Pacifica Accountability, and that was 3 years in the writing, and Vince knows a lot more about this than
sure, I do. And I'll ask Vince to speak.
3 years in the writing.
Bylaws proposal. Vince, go ahead.
It was at least 30 years in the writing, perhaps longer. I think what we need to understand about bylaws is that, as Sonali pointed out, there's going to be a Pacifica Board of Directors meeting this weekend. It may well be that they adopt one of these drafts or perhaps mix and match pieces of them. The point is that they're on a timeline. As Sonali mentioned earlier, there were four lawsuits filed against Pacifica on the issue of governance. There was a settlement last December, which David knows far more about than I do. But it basically puts the foundation on a timeline to reform its governance, to rewrite the bylaws. And it set up an interim Pacifica Board of Directors, which is what we have now, essentially an amalgam of the former minority, the former majority, the former minority being the litigants in these lawsuits, and then one each from each of the signal areas, and that's how David got on the interim board.
Right, and so there are basically, I suppose there are a number of proposals. Did we leave any major ones out, Sarah?
I don't think so.
What about the? I've been hearing about the Unity proposal. Is
well,
that
that's
one?
The one I spoke about. That's the one that came out of the L.A. area bylaws convention that we had a few weekends ago.
Well, actually, this is Dave Furtick. There's actually a proposal from what's called the Unity Caucus.
Oh, the Unity Caucus.
York.
That's right.
I believe it's a constituency model. The one of the problems with that, and I did get a copy of it in my email last night, but I'm leaving on an airplane in about an hour. I'll look at it once I get on the plane, I guess. Sort of a last-minute thing. It was put together by a bunch of people in New York. Similarly to Los Angeles, there was different perspectives on the bylaws, and so the New York bylaw subcommittee did not put forth a draft, as far as I know. However, a group of other people did, and so that's one that I could not speak to. I understand that it has some rather controversial schemes whereby people are elected by their quote constituency unquote, which might be based on, for example, you know, the labor movement, African American activists, or what have you, a variety of you know, constituencies. That's a pretty interesting scheme.
So it seems. So what we're doing here, just to recap, we have a number of proposals on the table. These are not just. We're not just talking about how to run KPFK. We're talking about the Pacifica Foundation, which is, of course, a network of five stations across the country. We also have a number of affiliates, but this pertains specifically to the network and the five stations under it. And there are proposals from various stations as well as listener groups, and there are a lot of proposals. So here's the question, of course, to my three guests today. How is the ordinary listener, which actually I would fall into that category aside from my work on the morning show, supposed to figure out how to navigate between all of these proposals and decide for themselves what seems to be the best proposal and express their views on it?
Well, you've got your work cut out for you and you have not much time. I actually wanted to ask Dave a question because you're getting on a plane, I presume that's for Houston?
That's correct.
Okay. As of last week, last Friday, Pacifica.org, the foundation's website, was revamped. It looks really good. It now includes email addresses for all of the Pacifica board members, including yourself, hope so that you can get input on bylaws and other issues. Will board members have access to this email input over the course of the next few days? I mean, even when you're in Houston.
Oh, well, I certainly shall. I'm taking my laptop with me. But the point is that the board members' listings of emails there is interesting because, for example, one person tried to email Bert Lee, and it was kicked back because Bert Lee does not own a computer, or at least he doesn't have an email account. What happened is the webmaster at Pacifica, who will appreciate your compliment, gave each of us an email account. So, you know, I think it's dfertig@pacifica.org. Yeah. What it does is that sends the email to my actual email account, dfertig@workerlaw.net, which I think every Pacifica listener has by now. In any event, so those board members who read their email and have email will get it. And also, the pacifica.org website has a section wherein, looking at the governance issues, you can submit comments. And, of course, those of us who are active in this issue are reviewing those as well.
Now, Dave Fertig, you are the representative to the Interim Pacifica National Board from the KPFK Local Advisory Board here. So you are our local representative, and we're also very involved in the sort of the legal settlement. Can you talk a little bit about the legal settlement that came about in February and how it governs, what framework it provides to the new bylaws that we're supposed to be abiding by?
Well, first I should note, I was elected to the local advisory board, to the national board by the local advisory board, and I am an attorney, but I was not really involved in actually getting the settlement hammered out.
But you're familiar
with
it.
I was very involved in the movement, and I was very involved in some of the legal discussions and background issues, but I was not an attorney for the case. I didn't really work out the settlement. However, the settlement basically provides, there's a whole lot of stuff, obviously, but basically says we have to come up with some bylaws within a year from last December. So these bylaws need to be approved by a two-thirds majority of the national board. And I'm looking at it here. It also needs to be approved, those aspects of it which relate to the manner and election of directors has to be also approved by three of the five local advisory boards. That's really what the issue is, I think, in terms of whether or not we're going to get something done this coming weekend.
So the local advisory boards essentially have a lot of power in helping recreate Pacifica because it's their votes that are really going to be counted here.
Well, it's a two-step process.
In the context of having to approve by majority vote, three of the five labs have to approve whatever aspects of those bylaws relate to the manner of election of directors and lab members or local advisory board members. So that's a lot of power in that sense. But frankly, historically, labs in the past have had lots of power, although in the last, say, 7 or 8 years, that power has dwindled to zero until the lawsuits, two of which were filed by national directors, one of which was filed by local advisory board members, and the other was filed by listeners.
Okay, now we are dealing with a two-step process, as Dave alluded to. There's going to be the board meeting this weekend where they can do one of two things, either adopt a draft or fail to adopt a draft. If they fail to adopt a draft, then almost certainly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, you'll have to go to the judge for an extension of time because the Interim Pacifica Board has to go out of existence by next March, failing some sort of extension.
Theoretically, right. Theoretically, because frankly, I don't think that that the national board will actually select a singular draft. I think what may likely occur, and certainly I think is the more sensible thing, is it will boil it down to some basic alternatives, some basic issues. It may be a sort of a cherry picking thing, where it may not be three or four model bylaws, but you know, 7 or 8 basic issues to select from, and then shop those around the various local advisory boards and see what actually achieves. I'd like to see more than 3 out of 5. I'd like to see more than a two-thirds on the national board. I'd like to see a really broad, almost a consensus of support for this, because that will help us move forward. I think that we may need to have another national board member before board meeting before December, because, like you say, Vince, you know, we are under the gun, and We need to get an elected board on tap so that they can really do the work in an accountable fashion of actually hammering out the real details of how this organization, this newly evolving organization, will develop.
I would like to add here that our local advisory board has voted on a delay that they have put their oar in, that they would like to not have bylaws adopted in September, but would like to delay until December.
And how
is the sentiment of the virtual consensus in the local advisory board at this time?
Have other labs from the local advisory boards from the other four stations put forward a position on this?
The KPFA in Berkeley, the KPFA lab has said, no, let's move forward. I agree with Sarah. Obviously, the lab did vote for a delay because it's worried that some hasty decision might be made just in order to comply with the timeline. The national board members and many others, including Sarah and Vince and many, many others, you know, Dave Adelson and so forth, have been working countless hours, and it's really tiring, and we want to get this thing done. But we can't be hasty.
I want to remind our listeners that I have on the line with me David Fertig, who is a representative of the Internet Pacifica National Board, and he's from the KPFK Local Advisory Board, and also Sarah Zwirn, who is a KPFK listener. She's on the Planning Committee for the LA Area Bylaws Convention that took place. And also in studio with me is Vince Ivory, a longtime volunteer and former staff member at KPFK with the Pacifica Accountability Committee. We are essentially taking a look at the bylaws that are being written by various groups of people for the Pacifica Foundation as a result of the lawsuit and the outcome of a lawsuit that was settled earlier this year. And the timeline for rewriting the bylaws or amending or whatever, if you will, the bylaws for Pacifica Foundation is the deadline is this December. And the reason, of course, for doing this program is to engage you, the listener, to find out about how you can participate in the formation of sort of a new direction for Pacifica, or just to make have your word in making sure that Pacifica does not go down the path that it went before. Now, of course, the point is to demystify what bylaws are. And I want to ask my three guests now if you can go through, each of you, what you think are the most salient points that a bylaws proposal should contain, such as formation of committees or staff representation, listener representation, etc. Maybe, Vince, if I could start with you.
Absolutely. You asked earlier how people can find out about this stuff. Most of it is at pacifica.org, www.pacifica.org, except, unfortunately, the PAC proposal, even though we finished it back in 97, no one at Pacifica has seen fit to post our model, so you can find it at pacfolio.org. Now, I don't know about the New York model. That may be on WBAI.net. And if you're not hooked to the internet, I don't know how you can participate between now and this weekend. As to salient points, the one that I want to hit the hardest is transparency. Because over the course of the hijacking, over the course of at least 7 years, what happened behind closed doors. And as we heard from a judge recently in a ruling regarding immigration cases, democracies die behind closed doors. We need as much out in the open as possible. That means open meetings. That means transparency in terms of the finances, that sort of thing. Because, quite frankly, people tend to respond to crises. People got involved with the Pacifica situation when the staff and volunteers were locked out at KPFA in 1999, even more so in New York after the Christmas coup in 2000. So people will respond to the crisis when they know that there is a problem.
Which of the proposals, in your opinion, has the strongest stand on transparency?
Well, I'm prejudiced. I'm going to have to say the Pacifica Accountability Committee for all of the reasons that I just listed. We have very specific proposals for the lab treasurers or the station board treasurers. They are to have access to the books, pretty much unlimited access to the books. Now, we can't have a situation where all of the subscribers can walk into the building at any time and look at any financial record, but through the mechanism of the station board and through the person of the treasurer of the local board, they can get that information, they can get those questions asked at the local board meetings. And I do encourage all of the subscribers to participate in KPFK. Come down and volunteer during the fun drives, a lot of fun, good food, and come to the local board meetings, because we're either consumers of media, as the Pacifica hijackers would have us be, or we're members of community gathered around a radio station. And if, in fact, we are members of community gathered around a radio station, then we need to define that. We need to participate.
Any of the other proposals have particular points that you'd like to rally behind or uphold as good models of what the bylaws should be?
Well, Dave Fertig actually has some very good points on his, and I should let him speak to it.
In fact, before we go to David and Sarah, and I'd want to get definitely both of your opinions on this, we need to take a quick break to identify the station. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Morning Show on 90.7 FM KPFK Los Angeles. Tune in today at 3 for Radio Intifada, the weekly program produced by the South and West Asia and North Africa Collective. Hosts Michelle Shahade and Shonali Bose will look at the underpinnings of the war on terror with leading activists from the region. Your calls are welcome in the second half of the show. That's today at 3 on Radio Intifada, bringing you voices from Casablanca to Calcutta. The Morning Show with Sonali Kohatkar will return in just a moment.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Show. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We are trying to demystify Pacifica's bylaws today, or rather demystify the various proposals on bylaws that are essentially going to, one of these is going to be adopted, or some version of one of these is going to be adopted by the Pacifica National Board. And there is a meeting happening this weekend in Houston. In fact, I believe that KPFK will be broadcasting the entire meeting live. So for listeners who can't fly out to Houston, you can tune in this weekend and hear some of the issues around governance that the Pacifica Interim Pacifica National Board will be discussing. Now, in studio with me is Vince Ivory, and he has been talking a little bit about the proposals or some of the issues in the bylaws proposals that he thinks are most important. Also on the line with me are Dave Fertig. He is the IPNB representative from the KPFK Local Advisory Board, and Sarah Zwirn, who is on the Planning Committee for the LA Area Bylaws Convention. David Fertig, can you respond to this issue of what, in your opinion, are the most important features of a bylaws proposal?
Well, I think that overall, for all the bylaw proposals, to me, the most important thing, and I must say, I think that absolutely Vince is right. Transparency is essential. Accountability is essential. All the bylaws seek to do that. And I think that we need to borrow from each of the various models the best aspects of those. But the real issue is structure, and that is, how is it that people get on the national board of Pacifica? Because the people on the national board of Pacifica will be the ones that are responsible for protecting the FCC licenses, which will come under attack, particularly as we raise the alarm relative to the militarism and fascism that's sweeping not just the United States, but the world, really. And I think that as we do this, we need to be very careful to ensure that the manner in which we put people at the helm of Pacifica in terms of the policy-making body, the national board, we better make sure that these are people that have been seen in action, that have been tested, that have demonstrated their commitment to the Pacifica mission, to the ability to get work done, to work with others, to maintain, you know, principled, ethical, civil, and vigorous advocacy of the Pacifica ideals. So how do you do that? And one of the proposals, some people have proposed that these people be directly elected nationally. Others have said no. My proposal, for example, says, no, let's elect local advisory boards, which are really just sort of advisory boards mandated by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, community advisory boards in a manner invented by Pacifica, by the way. But the point is that from these local advisory boards, people who have been seen in action, who are familiar with how things are working in Pacifica, or not working, are then elected by the members of the local advisory board to the national board. And this manner, I hope, and this is also done, I think, in the KPFA or Spooner model, whereby people have to be on the local board to get elected. I think also on the KPFK committee or conference model as well.
Also the PAC model.
Yeah, because we recognize that it's very important that people be seen, not just heard. In other words, people can talk a good line, but let's see what they do under pressure. So that's a vital issue. And to me, that's really one of the more fundamental things. Another one is the staff representation, as Sarah noted in the beginning. To what extent should staff be on there? It's obviously a complicated thing because for a staff member to be on a board sort of gives them a certain amount of power in the workplace. On the other hand, if they're elected by their peers, then that power, I think, just is a resident of that, of what the peers want. And certainly recall at all stages is vital, whereby the staff should be able to remove their rep, and as well as the listeners should be able to remove the local advisory board members, including the local advisory board members who go on the national board. Because the problems that arose in the last several years largely arose because in Los Angeles alone, I think two national board members were voted to be removed, and the national board said, forget it, we're keeping them on, even though they were violating the will of the community here. So those are the issues, I think. Structure, how do people get up? How do you get them out? Is there accountability? The issue of staff representation is an important one and a very controversial one.
And certainly there are a lot of dialogues around that. Now, we have a few minutes left. I want to get Sarah's response to this before we go to our listener call. Sarah Zwirn, you are you know a lot about the bylaws issues. You're on the planning committee for the L.A. Area Bylaws Convention. Maybe you're not standing behind a particular proposal, but if you can express for our listeners, and especially if you can pick up on issues that Vince Ivory and David Furtick didn't pick up on, in your opinion, which are what should people be paying attention to, or some of the most important things people should be paying attention to with respect to a bylaws proposal?
Okay. First of all, it needs to be balanced. And one of my concerns is the capability for the National Board to change the bylaws or to amend the bylaws. It must be, in my opinion, and in the opinions of the L.A. Area Convention, any bylaws changes must be approved by the membership. That's the first step. I think that's very important by the general membership, by the listeners. Secondly, there needs to be a way for the listeners to have input into the amendment process. Not in a frivolous way where, you know, 20 signatures on a petition and it goes before the national board. But if there is enough interest among the membership, the general membership, that they see that something in the bylaws just isn't working, there needs to be a way for them to initiate bylaws amendments through a referendum process. Another thing is, again, accountability, which both Vince and Dave have addressed. And in my conversations with just virtually everybody, it always comes down to, most of the listeners that I've talked to, it comes down to one thing. The unscreened listener call-ins, that seems to be the number one accountability, and as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, the number one accountability issue. And we've seen, particularly in the Shub regime, and sometimes still currently, we see guests on programs who go onto a program. They may be government officials, or they may be hawks. They're advocating, a war position, and they go unrebutted by the host of the show. And this doesn't happen all that much at this time. Are rebutted, but sometimes the listeners have we have a very intelligent listening audience, and for them to be able to call in and give, their arguments, I think is something very near and dear to the listeners. And I think that it's so near and dear that it ought to be written into the bylaws. The report to the listeners that with the general manager taking unscreened calls again. What was the other one? The issue of the staff on the boards is a complicated one, and I think the main concern among a lot of people is a conflict of interest, that if the staff is on a board, and they may not want to vote for things that might affect their job or their airtime, and that can present a serious conflict of interest.
Well, let me ask you this, Sarah. Don't you think that others who are invested in Pacifica, such as happened in the previous regime, have a bigger conflict of interest? For example, transactions, financial transactions that unfairly benefited them. There are certainly conflicts of interest at every stage. What about, for example, the conflict of interest between local advisory board chair who wishes to retain power of local advisory boards in making decisions? I mean, that to some would be a conflict of interest, wouldn't you agree?
Well, the local advisory board chair, I mean, the board should be making decisions democratically. Another thing, too, though, that brings up another issue, executive committees. There should be really, and this is this can be a really... People don't, you know, when you look on the surface of things, it looks like, oh, look at all these committees. They're really going to get things done. But if you have an executive committee that has the power to make governing decisions of a very, important nature on finances, policy, structure, without the consent and the vote of the entire board, and without really having it a public meeting, You run into the danger of precisely what led us to this in the first place. And another issue, yes, is the open meetings. The open meetings with the listeners and the general membership present and able to comment during those meetings.
Sarah, I'm going to now take a very quick break and then go to our listener calls. Since you mentioned how important listener calls were, let's do exactly that.
Sure.
I want to remind our listeners that Sarah Zwirn is on the line with me. She is with the Planning Committee for the LA Area Bylaws Convention. David Fertig is on the line with me. He is the representative to the Interim Pacifica National Board from the KPFK Local Advisory Board. And in studio is Vince Ivory, a longtime volunteer, former staff member at KPFK, is now with the Pacifica Accountability Committee. And we are talking about demystifying bylaws, and we are going to be taking your listener calls in just a moment. The number to call, of course, is 818-985-5735. And I just want to stress that we are not screening listener calls. Refer is merely helping me with bringing the names of people up on the screen. He's simply going to ask your name and stick you on the board and make it less complicated for me, since we actually have two guests on the line right now and only one board. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
We have to think out of the box in totally pure, non-violent ways.
Hi, I'm Lily Tomlin, and this is A Passion for Survival with Dr. Helen Caldicott, a 12-part series featuring the world-renowned physician activist discussing the dangerous times we live in with specialists such as Michael Parenti, Julia Butterfly Hill, Noam Chomsky, and others.
Lockheed Martin gave huge amounts of money to both sides, like Enron did during the election and the like, and Congress passed a resolution saying we must get on with Star Wars as soon as possible. That's how Congress operates. Congress is not run by you, as you know, it's run by the corporations.
Join us this Thursday at 3 p.m. for A Passion for Survival with Dr. Helen Caldicott. That's this Thursday at 3 p.m. right here on KPFK Los Angeles 90.7 FM.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Show. We are taking listener calls now for our listeners to be able to ask questions of our guests today, who are Vince Ivory, David Fertig, and Sarah Zwirn. And on the line is Mila on line 6. Welcome to The Morning Show, Mila.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Mila.
Mila, I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. And I want to thank you so much for doing this very important programming. First off, I would actually like to invite listeners who aren't aware of it to continue this discussion online. There is a website, kpfklisteners.net, where folks can write in their comments and talk about programming and this show and bylaws and the things, and stay alerted to what's going on at the station. And I also want to talk about transparency and accountability, because everybody really agrees on it, but sometimes we have seem to have trouble implementing it. And Vince said something that struck me. I'd like to ask Vince a question, because I'm not sure that I got this right. One of the things that I think is essential is that the budget for the station actually be up on the Internet so that people can have easy access to it. And I thought that Vince said that if people had questions about the budget, that they couldn't necessarily go down to the station and get a copy of the budget, but that if they were to go to a lab meeting, that they could talk to the treasurer of the lab about their, you know, their questions about the budget. And it seems like a rather convoluted process and one that would impede easy access. So I'll get off the line and listen to your comment.
Vince Ivory.
Thank you, Myla. In terms of the overall budget, the simple document, yes, that should be easily accessible. It should be on the website. There is now on the Pacifica website, by the way, an audit of the last fiscal year, which makes for interesting reading. What I meant in terms of the station board treasurer and that person's access was not just the budget, but the documents behind the budget. We've seen budgets over the last several years for Pacifica, and quite frankly, they have line items like special projects that, you know, have hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't know what that money means. Okay? What we need is a good breakdown of this budget, and we need a functional treasurer at all of the stations, on all the station boards, who can look at the documents behind the budget and interpret this stuff. And this is rather complex. It's a lot of work, and it would be disruptive to the station if anybody could go in and just open up any file drawer, which is why we've set up a mechanism to do that via the station board, which of course makes the station board more vital.
And I think I would even go as far as to say that KPFK's own budget should be online and fully explained. There are probably things on KPFK's budget that may not be clear to any of us. Next, we'll go to Frank on line 12. Welcome to the morning show, Frank.
Hi, Sonali. I also would like to thank you and Christopher for this show.
Thank you.
And it's actually been one of the better shows on the subject, but by definition, it can only sort of be like a civics text primer on this. This is such an incredibly complex situation that if you can figure this out, you can probably figure out the lawyer jerga. There are some huge political issues swirling around this, which is people are not yet aware of that. They kind of, it would be informative for them to get themselves a little more up to speed on it. As Myla said, kpfklisteners.net is a good place to go, and if you ask there, I'm sure people will start to explain it to you. And also New Pacifica, another website, which is open to anyone, has had a lot of information, a huge amount of information and discussion on this, because if people are not aware of the fact, there is a re-hijack going on, and the bylaws play in a significant issue into this. And as usual, things are not what they appear to be. So thanks a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if anybody wanted to comment on that. We don't have too much time left, so maybe we should just rush to the next
question. Well, there is certainly a danger of a re-hijacking, even with the institution of democratic elections. We have the sad model of KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which had democratic elections, probably still does. But in 1996, there was a concerted effort on the part of the Christian right to take over that station. And they nearly succeeded in getting a majority on that board. There's no absolute guarantee. Right? There is only eternal vigilance, which is why I encourage people so strongly to become involved with the station at all levels. Volunteer, go to the station board meetings, and so on. Because bylaws, in the end, are just words on paper. It's people actually being here that makes this community radio.
Also, let me ask my guests a quick question, which is when listeners and subscribers, of course, specifically subscribers, will have voting rights to determine the fate of the station or to determine, you know, elections, etc.
Depends on which model is adopted.
Well, in any event, the timing of that will be determined by when we adopt bylaws. As soon as bylaws are adopted, a schedule for elections will have to be developed and implemented. That probably would be a month or two or three after we adopt the bylaws.
Excellent. Let's go next.
And I'd like to add one thing quickly here that I did not mention, and I think it's very important that be in the bylaws. And as a matter of fact, was passed, I believe, unanimously by our lab, that there be a provision in the bylaws that calls for a convention with listener representatives and with the boards a national convention to rewrite the bylaws, or to not necessarily rewrite the bylaws, because that may not be necessary, but to revisit the bylaws and make any amendments or revisions that are necessary. And this would happen within a year. I think that our lab very strongly supports that, and I think that listeners should insist that or equivalent be in the bylaws.
Let's go next to Steve on line 5. Welcome to the morning show, Steve.
Yes, I am concerned that the National Board meeting in Houston may not be broadcast live as it was last board meeting from Berkeley,
live
over over all 5 Pacifica stations. I've heard that the National Board meeting will not be broadcast in Houston over KPFT. Could you comment on that? Also, have one other point to make is my knowledge is that the lab, the local advisory board here at KPFK, has endorsed or is in support of the KPFK bylaws convention proposal that was submitted to the National Board for their considerations. One of the things I am concerned about is the lack of time that the National Board has to properly consider all of these proposals and deliberate about them. I really think that there is a rush to ratify these bylaws, and I think that not enough listeners have been involved in this process, let alone all of the labs. So, Dave Furtick, I'm hoping that you will take it upon yourself to push for a delay as opposed to ratification this weekend. I think a lot of listeners do not know that these bylaws are going to be hurriedly ratified this weekend, so I'd like your comment on those 3 issues, please.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure about the issue of broadcasting. I do know that here at KPFK we are broadcasting live. I do not know whether it's happening in KPFT. Dave, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah. First of all, the voice sounded awfully familiar. The motion to delay, was issued by the KPFK Local Advisory Board, and as a representative, I'm taking that forward. It's on the agenda, and I support it in that context. But I'll say this, I'm not looking to delay things. I think that the motion to delay would be appropriate if it looked like we were about to adopt a full set of bylaws. Absolutely. And it's appropriate in any event. The point is, we're not going to. We need to push forward. That doesn't mean we need to hurry up and make a decision. Stephen's right. We need to make some progress, however.
Okay, let's go to let's go to Ed. I guess that can be our last question because we're out of time. Ed, welcome to the morning show.
Yes, I'd like to mention the fact, or at least the discussion of quote-unquote diversity, and I say quote-unquote because the left has 1,000 eyes, and the way that those 1,000 different versions of the left can get on one radio station or even a network of radio stations has not been decided. And certain bylaws have mechanistic ways of determining diversity, and other bylaws leave it to the individuals involved. And I see that mechanistic ways of doing it may cause more problems than they solve. But at the same time, we have to remember that there are many different ways, there are many different groups that have access to the radio stations and many different opinions, and that problem has to be solved one way or the other.
Would any of my guests like to comment on that?
Diversity is actually in the Pacifica mission. It's intrinsic to what we do. It absolutely has to be there, and I agree with Ed that the mechanistic approach does not always work. I keep going back to this like a broken record. We need to have people involved. We need to have people down here and at the community events. Part of the infrastructure of community radio that we lost during the hijacking was the sort of community event like Unity Fest of a couple of months ago, where people actually got together in the same room and talked.
That's a great idea.
They're quite diverse. We have a diversity committee here in the local advisory board headed by Kwasi Nkrumah, and I believe Rafael Renteria is working on it as well. doing the outreach to create that diversity.
I want to thank all my guests very much today for joining me. David Fertig, a representative to the Interim Pacifica National Board from the KPFK Local Advisory Board, and on the line as well, Sarah Zwirn, listener on the Planning Committee for the LA Area Bylaws Convention, and Vince Ivory in studio with me, a longtime volunteer and former staff member at KPFK with the Pacifica Accountability Committee. Also want to mention that the National Board results will be discussed at the Peace and Diversity Listeners Group next week on Thursday, September 26th, at 7 p.m. at the Peace Center. That's at 8124 West 3rd Street, with lab members and KPFK staff as well as listeners. That's next Thursday, September 26th at 7 p.m. at 8124 West 3rd Street. And Sonali's subversive thought for the day is a quote by Lou Hill, the founder of Pacifica. In 1951, he said, "The Pacifica experiment requires that the people who actually do the broadcasting should also be responsible for what and why they broadcast. In short, they must control the policy which determines their actions. If I may, I will emphasize that neither a public be damned nor a down with commerce attitude enters into this formulation. The problem was, you remember, not whether you as a listener should choose what you like or agree with, as obviously you should and do, but how to get some genuinely significant choices before you. Radio, which aims to do that must express what its practitioners believe to be real, good, beautiful, and so forth, and what they believe truly is at stake in the assertion of such values. For better or worse, these are matters like the nature of the deity, which cannot be determined by a majority vote or a sales curve. Either some particular person makes up his mind about these things and learns to express them for himself, or we have no values or no significant expression of them. Since values and expressions are as fundamental as this are what we must have to improve radio noticeably, there's no choice but to begin by extending to someone the privilege of thinking and acting in ways important to him. Whatever else may happen, we thus assign to the participating individual the responsibility, artistic integrity, freedom of expression, and the like, which in conventional radio are normally denied him or her." That is Pacifica's founder, Lou Hill, who said that in 1951. And that does it for The Morning Show. Thanks to Mark Maxwell for engineering. The Morning Show is co-produced by Sonali Kohatkar and Christopher Sprinkle. Let us know what you think of the show by emailing us at morningshow@kpfk.org or calling us at 818-985-2711, extension 502. You can call the Pacifica Radio Archives for a copy of this program at 1-800-735-0230. Stay tuned to listen to The Community Calendar and Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. I'll see you on another edition of The Morning Show.
This is listener-sponsored 90.7 FM KPFK, also heard at 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. And as Sonali just told you, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman is coming up following the KPFK Community Calendar.